Everyone, it's Jason with Dukes, your local city guide, and we're here for another fantastic episode of our video blog, which is like a ton of fun to film these things, learning a lot about great businesses and great organizations in the community that are doing some fantastic work to help everyone through our current COVID crisis. And today on the call, we have Jaya James, who's the executive director of Hope House. Welcome, Jaya.
Thank you for having me.
I see. I know our connection is not, you know, the best of connections today, but, you know, we'll just keep going through it. At least we have, you know, the name to the face and we have the audio and we have some video. And so it's all good. So I'm good with that.
For sure.
Yeah. So for those of us that aren't familiar with Hope House, do you want to just tell us a little bit about what Hope House is, what your organization normally does, like outside of COVID? Just a little bit more about what you guys are all about.
Yeah, so Hope House is a poverty relief agency in the city of Guelph. We've been here since 2012. We really focus on the idea that the opposite of poverty is community, and that poverty is more than just limited financial resources, but it also are things like limited emotional, relational, spiritual from a sense of purpose and meaning in one's life, and physical resources in our lives. And so we work with community members, individuals within the community that are struggling or have shortfalls in any of those areas, and help support them by bringing a community around them to address those issues and help them build capacity. So before COVID-19, our programming was grouped into three categories. Immediate relief program, so that was like our food market, which is all based on being able to choose the items that you want. Clothing market, where you got to choose the items that you want. A hair salon, meal programs, and a horticultural therapy program in partnership with the Julian Project out at Ignatius in Guelph. And then we had our ongoing support programs, which were all about building life skills or supporting healthy lifestyles. So it included things like Circles, which really works on helping to build the capacity of individuals to exit poverty. It was programs such as our Creative Connections, where people could do art and all sorts of other very creative art, music, needlework, which has been found to be very therapeutic and healing to individuals. And it was involved other programming about system navigation or support and helping to find employment. So that's kind of our ongoing support. And then we also had community projects, which are quite well known through the community. So, and these were done in partnership with other groups. So they're the Guelph Community Backpack Project, which we do in partnership with the Guelph Neighborhood Support Coalition to help youth and children have access to the resources they need for school, as well as our Hope for the Holidays, which provides a whole bunch of kind of holiday planning things like meals and make your own gifts and celebratory events, along with a Christmas hamper that kind of we were doing as well. So these are examples of the work that we were doing before COVID-19. With the onset of COVID-19, there's been lots of changes, but as usual, we've really seen it come to life how that the opposite of poverty is community, and the communities really step forward to help with those changes. So the focus of our programming right now is on meeting the needs of food insecure households. So we have moved our food market programming into home delivery. So people now call, we still take their order because it's really important to us that people get to choose what it is they're getting for their food. And we know that that logistically makes things slower because every order is a custom order, but we do think that's essential to providing dignity to individuals. So we take the order, we pack the orders, and Linamar has been delivering all the orders to the home. So in April, we had almost 1,100 people receive their food orders delivered directly to their houses. We also have our tax clinic still running, so people can drop off their taxes and get those completed by a tax specialist who calls them on the phone and sets that up and gets that done for them. And we have online and virtual counseling in partnership with Five Star Relationships. So that's kind of how our programming has morphed over the last 8 weeks. It's been a real adventure and ride. It's like going back to university right into a PhD program. But it's been amazing to see how the communities come together and is like stepping up and helping. So we've really felt well supported. And every time we hit a hurdle, someone has always stepped forward to help.
That's great. And I really appreciate the whole comments about the community, because that's what, you know, just on a personal level, what I've noticed a lot is how the community in all ways and shapes and forms, even down to, you know, people saying more, like saying hi more frequently on the street, like, because we are all in this together, you know, no matter what, you know, no matter our demographic, no matter where we are, like on the societal scale, this affects all of us in very different ways. And like you said, what we have at the end to come back to is that sense of community and that contribution and being part of that community, because that's what gets everyone through everything at the end of the day, right? It's all of us together, working together, whatever we can. And it's great that, you know, you guys have been able to pivot, particularly with your food program, to be able to offer, you know, more custom orders while still having that program running, and to have Linamar to come on board and help out with deliveries. That's just amazing. Like, how did that happen?
Linamar actually approached us. It's a prime example of how the community stepped forward. So around the end of March, they just said that they had some extra drivers because they were kind of winding down with the restrictions that the government was putting on. And so they said, you know, we'd like our drivers to be able to help out in our community. And so they approached a number of agencies. We were one of them. And we said, yes, we'd love to have your help.
Yes, please.
Yes, exactly. Yes, please. And so they've been absolutely amazing because they know how to do deliveries. So we didn't have to do really any training on that. I think they've done lots of training with us. Starting this week, we're going to route optimization. So we're learning how to plot routes in ways so that they make logical sense. And that's a brand new thing for us. But it's been really great having that support. And they'll continue to support us till the end of May. And then they're getting their manufacturing back up and going, which is great because as a manufacturing and other jobs come online, the number of households that are food insecure also goes down. So we're excited for them and really thankful for the support they've provided.
Yeah. So as the community shifts back to, you know, what will be a new normal and having those support measures in place, that really helps. But knowing that bridging the gap, you guys are working together to make sure that food insecurity issue is addressed is really, really important. And of course, always appreciated. Are there any programs that you have not been able to continue for now or had to put on hold for whatever reason?
Yeah, so the programs that we really had to put on hold were our meal programs. So we partnered with Royal City Mission, the Drop-In Center, and the Community Health Center in Chalmers. And this was back in March 17th, I believe. And we basically said we need to streamline what everyone is doing so that we can deliver the programs in the most effective way, but also the safest way. So for us, that meant we put our meal programs on pause because the Royal City Mission agreed to do all the cooking for the meals, and then they would do the delivery to the different sites that required the meals. So it was a great opportunity there for making sure that people were having access to the resources they needed, but at the same time, making sure it was done in a safe way. So it's moved away from meals being in a group setting, kind of more like a restaurant style, to meals being delivered to the home. So they have similarly done a very similar process to what we did. We switched our food market appointments to delivery, and they switched the meal program to delivery, and we've supported each other in getting that done.
Yeah, it's great. And I do recall hearing about how the Drop-In Center and, you know, all the organizations did get together to, you know, to streamline that, as you mentioned. And, you know, there's power in numbers, right? So, you know, all these individual organizations trying to do their own thing collectively are that much stronger, and then are able to more effectively fill that need and, you know, and keep the programs going in the best way possible. You know, there can't be any meals on site, but delivery or just picking up the meals as well, right? I believe that happens.
That's correct.
Yeah, as long as they continue and find these creative means during these challenging times, more people brainstorming, the greater the ideas become, and, you know, the more powerful they become. So that's really, really fantastic. Do you foresee any new sort of long-term partnerships emerging out of COVID now that there's been an opportunity? I know all the organizations typically work together in some way, shape, or form, but now that relationship has been strengthened. Do you see opportunities to, you know, continue to collaborate through other programs going forward that might not have happened in the past?
Yeah, I do think that's definitely an opportunity that's available to us. And I think all the time when you have big shifts, it really forces you to look at how things are done. And this has been this really big disruption and shift. And so there's lots of conversations going on. In fact, I'm going to one this afternoon that the SEED is leading, which is part of the Community Health Center, and looking at how can we look how can we better maybe warehouse our items or do things together more. And so there's the opportunity there, and I'm hoping that we'll be able to work through all the, of course, every change requires figuring out lots of logistics. And I'm very hopeful that we're gonna be able to find a new path forward that will result in a broader reach for programming across agencies so that we're better serving our community. And it's kind of, to me, that's the exciting thing about all of this. The positive that can come out of these really challenging times is that it's forced us to take some pretty big leaps, and it's given us a chance to see what can be accomplished when we make those big leaps.
Yeah, for sure. Now that you've had an opportunity to, you know, work with these revised programs over the past 8 weeks or so, looking back, is there anything that Hope House would change or do differently? You know, now they had a chance to experience how the programs, the modified programs, have been working or been received by the community.
Yeah, so I think there's a couple things. I think that the addition of online and phone counseling, I think even when we go back to having face-to-face counseling, we'll definitely still keep those other options because they do work really well for some people. Mm-hmm. I think that for our food market, we hope to continue to be able to provide to the home delivery for individuals who have accessibility issues. So even though we won't be able to provide it to all 100 appointments that we have in a week, there is probably a 10 to 15 appointments a week that really do struggle to get out, and that we will be able to, now that we've been through this and have ideas on how to do it, hopefully we can maintain that. And I guess the real other thing is just kind of to that keeping that open mind, being willing to always look at things differently. I think, to me, one of the exciting things about being in the charitable sector is that you have the opportunity to take risks that other groups don't take. And I'm not saying like huge, risks there, that there hasn't been some calculation as to what's involved and trying to mitigate risk, but there's a chance to do things that are more challenging for government agencies or for profit businesses to do, because of the fact that we're always working on really tight budgets. And so there is this natural drive to be really inventive. And I think that we can be the beta testers within our society that kind of try out things, because we can try them on the small scale and be afforded to learn the lessons in some ways of hard knocks, learn the lessons that, oh, that didn't work. But because we're doing everything on the small scale, the financial cost or the social cost can be quite low, but then we can keep adapting and changing. And that can be more challenging for some of the for-profit businesses and for government, because they are doing things on such a large scale in general that to try to do a small thing is very disruptive to their processes. And so it means that they have to have a longer runway in order to go through something to do a change. But when they do it, it has the opportunity to have significant impact. And I think that as a charity, what we can do is kind of do that piloting and beta testing for those organizations that can then give the ideas that can result in systematic change. And I think this is what we're seeing right now, is we're seeing these organizations and nonprofits step forward and do that beta testing. And I think we're starting to see with groups like the Community Health Center, who are a part of the government, starting to look at, okay, so what can we take from this and maybe do some more systematic change?
Yeah, and maybe at the end of all this round, there can be like a debrief, and there could be like, if there's something that doesn't already exist like this, like a charity wiki of new and innovative programs that everyone collaborates and contributes to, that can then be, you know, further to greater means and greater ends, as you said, once it gets to the government level and can be deployed there. But yeah, having all these individual organizations trying all these new things, like you said, I see like a lot of flexibility with charities, because like you said, you know, there's a lot of it's easier to turn the boat and pivot the boat. So collaborating and consolidating all those experiences into some sort of reference going forward, I think would be really, really powerful to develop future programs and future responses should something like this come along again. Is there anything that the community can do to assist Hope House during this time? Do you have a page like people might want to volunteer their time or, you know, donate, make a donation? Is there some place they can go to learn more about what you're doing and help out if they are able to?
Yeah, so I always say the best thing that the community can do is take care of their neighbors, friends, and family. because, you know those people very closely, you have relationships with them, you have the ability to see where they're struggling or where they have greater need. So if everyone can really focus on taking care of their neighbors, friends, and family, and helping connect them to organizations, if there's supports that they need that you're not able to provide or they're not able to get access to, that will make for a healthier, kinder, more thriving community overall. So that's, to me, the primary. Then the secondary thing is, there's always opportunities to volunteer at places like Hope House. For us, it's going to be, as we move into June, going to be some driving to get deliveries to homes as other agencies start to ramp back up, as well as some opportunities to work out at our gardens. We have 8 acres out at Ignatius that we're getting ready to plant for crops for this year. And so there's great opportunity to be physically distanced from each other while still working out on a beautiful property. Yeah. And then I think the last thing is to take care of yourself. It'd be the message I'd say to your community is that we're now 49 days, I think it is, in. I have a friend who keeps a captain's log and runs it down. So I think we're around 49 days, give or take. And you've had your world changed fairly radically. So be sure to show some self-compassion, because it's been a bit of a long haul and there's still a lot of uncertainty. And so if you're not doing well, then you're not able to help support others. And so try to make sure that you're doing something for yourself each day that fills your tank. And whether that's, if you're an extrovert, usually that's reaching out to someone and having a conversation. Or if you're an introvert and maybe are stuck in a house with a lot of people, make sure you find that, private space where you're able to recharge your tank, because we want to see you be healthy. And I think that we right now are building a kinder, more generous, compassionate community. And I think that if we keep doing those things, taking care of our neighbors, friends, and family, making sure that we volunteer where we can volunteer, and also making sure that we fill our tanks, that we're going to have a way stronger, more resilient community at the end of this, that's not only thriving relationally, but also would be thriving economically. Because if we're healthy emotionally and relationally, we are much more productive.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think that is one of the, benefits or, outcomes, that's a positive outcome from this whole experience, is that in some ways, I feel like we're raising the collective consciousness higher because we've been challenged in so many ways that we've never been done before. And it kind of, what do you do in challenge? You get back to your roots, and your roots is community. Mm-hmm. Taking care of yourself, like you say, which I also agree is extremely important. And I don't think there's enough attention put towards that idea, or, reinforcing that idea, taking care of yourself before you take care of someone else. I think it's absolutely essential. I totally agree. And then taking care, like you said, your neighbors, I think that's really great. They say, one of the best things that everyone can do who wants to support Hope House is, turn to your neighbors and make sure they're okay.
Yep.
Because we are all in this together, right? And then there's a variety of other ways to help out through gardening and driving and all those sorts of things. So yeah, I totally agree. It's actually quite exciting to see where we're going to end up at the end of all this. And I totally agree that I think it will be a more compassionate world where, because we're all in it together. And we kind of realize that, right? It kind of removed the whole silo effect of our society and kind of broke those walls down a bit. And I think those walls will stay down, which, will have all sorts of great benefits moving forward. So I'm Jason with Dukes, your local city guide. Jaya, thanks very much for being on the call today. Jaya is the executive director of Lakeside Hope House. If you're watching this anywhere else but on our website, head on over to dukes.city. That's dux.city. Click on the blog link. You'll find this post there about Hope House. And Jaya, what we'll do is we're going to put all the web links and social, we'll put all those connections on our post on the page so people can click through and find out more about what you guys are doing, keep up to date, volunteer, etc., and just keep tabs on what you guys are doing. So thank you very much, Jaya. It was really a pleasure to chat with you today.
It was a pleasure chatting with you too.
Yeah, and everyone take care and keep supporting your neighbor, keep supporting yourself, and keep growing your community. And Duke's Local City Guide just wants to say, keep sharing and supporting your local goodness. Cheers.